Welcome everybody, and good morning. Thank you for coming for the second day. Yeah, you come one time, it's not a right, it's not a proof. If you come two times, that means that you really believe what we're doing, or you just don't grab a Haber, but one or the other, they could both be true. Now, last night, Baruch Hashem, at the launch of the Harborside Kollel, we got to hear words from Rabbi Haber, tremendous Hesoiris and Chizik, and proper hashkafas on the outlook of what a kollel is, what limud Torah is, how a person misamel, a person meilus on Torah becomes their Torah, and it was mamash hafel of fellow. So I'm sure there's going to be a repeat even better than it was last night. It's a very big schos that we have, and a lot of people Baruch Hashem came to hear. Someone told me he's one of the top rabbis in Torah anytime, but that means there's a lot more to him than that. That's a great schos. I'm not even on Torah anytime, so I'm like not even on the parsha. So they wouldn't accept. I tried; they wouldn't accept me. No, I'm just kidding. But to be one of the mamish was sought out, darshanim, speakers, rabbanim, and at the same time, tak is saying emes and pushing people to vefim with the shaygan to grow. It's a meridika thing. Just before Rabbi Haber gets up, sorry, so you're moving, so I'm stopping you. That after Rabbi Haber speaks, we are continuing the sugya from yesterday. Business involving selling and benefiting from forbidden items. Rabbi Kushner is now in Bell Harbor, but he'll be here later to give another share. I'm sure it'll be just as informative and maybe even more entertaining if it's even shaykh to be. We're learning the sources for the share right after Rabbi Haber speaks, and there'll be a share at 11:15 plus lunch afterwards. I want to thank our sponsors for making it happen. Number one, Stock, Kahn, and Braverman, who are always there to be mechazek teiro, mechazek halacha, befrat, business halacha, and they really created a whole revolution over here in South Florida to allow high-level lawyers who are mechunich, whatever, who are students or whatever, learned, educated in the American law system, at the same time also makbid and zoy and yanei cheshem mishpat, and how to guide somebody in yanei cheshem mishpat. We appreciate their support of making our cheshem mishpat curl happen and the biz halach initiative to happen. It's a big schus for us and for them to be mishtatev, to be partners. And also shkech yashkech to Fresco, Avram Getzel, for sponsoring the food. And all the ilui nishmases are in a different paper, so I can't say them right now. But Sadja Basrubi, that one I remember. Is that correct? Baruch Hashem. Who else? Pesach Ben Yehuda, Ben Sarah. Okay, and all the rest of them, Hashem knows who they are. They shall be avenged and have a group of Gvaldik and Eden. Shkach with that, with no further ado, Rabbi Haber Yeshakach.
Should I put this on again?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi, very much. With the Rabbi and Rabbi Pledger together, what you've done here is a legend, and to be actually be able to see it in person and see what's happening in the North Miami Beach Kollel. How many years is it? 15? How many years?
Almost 18 years.
But 18 years and what it's done to the community and what it's done. What are we doing? We're good? 18 years and what it's done to the community and what Torah learning has done to the neighborhood and what it's done to the families and each individual that's a part of this is really something incredible. And like I said, is it actually working or am I doing it to myself?
I can do it for sure.
Yeah, either way. Monashah, okay. Yeah, it's working as a mic? Okay.
Yes,
talking
to it.
Like this, you say? Got it. Okay. It really is a tremendous chus to be here. I sort of want to acknowledge something that happens, and I don't know if everyone here will relate to this problem. I know it's something that I felt very much. I learned in yeshiva all my life. even though I'm a Syrian kid. I went to Laker Cheder as a kid. Then I learned to Staten Island Yeshiva for 7 years. And then learned to Brisk for a year, and then BMG for like 11. And when I'm in Yeshiva, and when we were in Yeshiva, all the Rabbeim are talking about how to be in Yeshiva, how to stay in Yeshiva, how important Limud HaTorah is to us and to our life. And to start off a life, Bahas Mada, my wife, and only chose me because I was a masmid, because I knew how to learn. That was really what we valued, and that was really the most important thing in the world. And then at some point, you get up and you go out. You go to work. I wouldn't call what I did at work, I became a rav, but still, it's not the regular routine. I didn't have a first Seder, second Seder, night Seder, and hopefully learning Bein Hastarim too. Interacting with people. And for most of us, I never got a playbook for that. My 10th grade Rebbe didn't tell me how to do it. When I was 6, 7 years in Kollel, I still never was taught how to do it. Even 8, 9 years, and when I left, it was just, I decided I'm in the next stage. But no one said, by the way, here's the guidelines, here's what you do, and here's how you get it done. And because of that, I think all of a sudden we find ourselves in positions that we weren't really prepared for. We find ourselves in life, and life is a lot. No matter what age or stage you are, life is a lot. If you're working, you're managing a business or managing a job, and at the same time managing a spouse and children and a reputation and maybe chesed and learning, and you have so much on your plate. Maybe there's a crisis happening in your life, maybe there's even two. And there's just so many things that are happening, and how do I do this? Who am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? So I think the answer lies in the title of the first Jew. The first Jew to ever live, Abraham Avinu, when the Torah is given a title. What is the title that the Torah gives our first forefather? It's not Abraham HaTzadik. It's not Abraham HaChacham. It's not Abraham Avinu even. It's not Abraham Avdi, Abraham Ahuvi. It's not. Instead, it's Abraham HaIvri. Abraham, who's on the other side of the river, of all the great things of this incredible man, one of the most important, if not the most important person in the history of the world, that's his title, on the other side of the river. Why is that his title? And the answer, I think, is like this. The answer is that, you know, the Yetzer Hara has an interesting way of working. An interesting way of working is the Yetzer Hara never starts with a bang. Are there any people in Florida that like have an addiction? Is that a thing? Anyone here has an addiction?
Only in New York.
Only in New York. It's only because they just try to park, they get drunk. But there's nothing here. There's no addictions here. Okay. I know some people with addictions. Gambling addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions, seeing inappropriate things addictions,
coffee
addiction. But you like coffee. You're showing me your addiction in your hand? It's right there. Is that cup number 1, 2, or 3? You're talking to a person who hasn't drank a cup of coffee in like 40 years. I'm not exaggerating. One time in yeshiva, I tried this. Maybe it's 35 years. One time. So I'm not, I don't have a coffee addiction. So how does it happen? No one wakes up in the morning one day and says, I want to be an addict. The answer is in the first pasuk in Tillim. The pasuk says, Asher ish, asher lo halach, be'atzas yishayim, u'b'derech hatoim lo yamar, ma'ashav leitzim lo yosha. What does it mean? Praise is the person that's not, doesn't go in the path of the Rishayim, doesn't stand with them, and isn't sit with them. Zakti Gemara and Avayi Desar, what does that mean? That means the way the Yetzer Hara works is first he pulls in, he's passing by quickly. Just take a quick drink. He's halach. Then he's amad. He's standing there with you a little bit, hanging out. Next thing you know is Yashav. He's sitting and he owns you. What I just said, everybody's aware of. Everybody's aware that the Yetzer Hara starts slow. And that's why everybody warns their 9-10-year-olds and their 15-year-olds and their 20-year-olds, be careful with the wrong friend. Be careful, go to that person's house. Make sure you don't watch that. Make sure someone doesn't hand you that. Because we're warning our children all the time because we know how the game works. We know that it starts slow. In fact, when you want to decide if you should allow your child to do something, don't ever look at it for what it is. Look at it for what it's going to be. There'll be people who get their kids an iPhone. The kid's 9 years old. Why are you getting your kid an iPhone? Now it doesn't work. Fine. Why are you getting your kid an iPhone? And I say, no, because it's dangerous. You know, the streets of North Miami, they're very dangerous. So has to have a phone so he could call home. And they think they're getting their kid a device to protect them from the danger of the streets. That is so clueless. What you're getting your kid is a device that he's going to sit on the couch with in 2-3 years from now, completely addicted to. Because it's not about what it is, it's about what it's going to be. It's going to go from Hala to Omar and Yashav. And everybody here agrees with me, right? Do you agree with me? You have to be careful. Make sure you don't give your kid a cigarette. You won't give your kid a cigarette to smoke because you don't know what it's going to lead to. And you be careful about allowing him to drink because you don't know what it's going to lead to. And you be careful about what you allow your kid to see because you don't know what it's going to lead to. And most of us think that at some point we graduate from the danger. 30, 40 years old, I'm not really susceptible anymore. The main challenges happen when you're young. What you don't realize is that halach is coming by all the time. There are people all of a sudden in their 40s that start to have some distraction, some little temptation that they never expected before, they were never susceptible to before. And what we don't realize is that very often something can enter into our life at these stages. And we don't realize how strong we have to be. So you know where you need to be? You know where you need to be in your life? You know where you need to be in your office? You know where you need to be on a business trip? You need to be an Ivri. You need to be a person who can watch everyone else do one thing and you're on the other side of the river. You do it your way. Avraham Avinu, before he was a Gadol B'Torah, before he was the greatest Maimon, before he was the Chacham and the Tzaddik, before anything, he was an Ivri. He was able to stand apart from everybody. The strength, the characteristic that's required when life, so to speak, gets what they call real. When life becomes, you're going into the workforce and you have children and you're marrying off children and you're juggling a wife and what she wants to spend and what you want to do and what the kids need and the office and all those things, the number one most important characteristic you need to have is Ivri. You have to be able to say, well, everyone's going and hanging out over there. I'm not going. Everyone talks this way to their co-workers, men or women. I don't talk that way. Every person use these words. I don't use those words because I am an Ivri. The characteristic you need to have when you're in yeshiva is to be part of the yeshiva. The characteristic you need to have when you leave yeshiva is to know how to separate from things as they come. Because you're not just done when you're 20 years old. The challenges and the trickery comes at any time. I'll give you a little example. So a few years ago, I was flying to Chicago. Now when I fly, I usually go business class, just push it because I don't want them stealing my luggage and things like that. You know what I'm talking about? You get on the plane, they look at you, oh, you can't have that. We're taking that to the bottom of the plane. You might see it tomorrow. So I can't deal with that. And I'm coming and I'm going very quickly and I have to hit the ground running. So I usually go business class. But I'm old, 3 years ago, I didn't go business class. So I flew to Chicago from JFK to O'Hare, regular class. So I got a seat. When you also, another thing, when you're in regular class, somehow you end up like row 35. So I was on row 35, middle seat. And I'm walking all the way back to the plane with whatever they let me have with me, whatever I have left. which is pretty much like a book and a half a thing of toothpaste, whatever. And I'm walking to the back of the plane, and I sit down, and I'm like, oh, the seat next to me is empty. Right before the doors close, some guy comes in, he sits down next to me. And he pretty much takes up his seat. That's with me and the mic today. We have a funny relationship. Okay. I guess I'm just going to hold it. He pretty much takes up his seat and half of mine. Okay, this is great. So I'm sitting like this the whole flight. I'm like, I'm for sure doing business for this, whatever. But I'm, as a grown man, maybe he's 40, 50 years old. Grown man. The entire flight, whatever it takes to go to New York to O'Hare, it's like 2 hours. The entire flight, the man was crushing candy. You know what that is? You know this game called Candy Crush? And you just, he's crushing, you know, anyone here know this video game? You don't have this yet? You heard of the game? You heard of it? You never heard of it? The Yetzer Hara was never halach by you. That's cool. What?
Not at all.
Not at all. It's this video game. 2 hours I'm watching a grown man play a video game and he's crushing candy. I'm like, how did this happen? This is not like he was addicted to it from when he was 10. It wasn't around when he was 10. How did this happen? And the whole time I'm just thinking one thing. You're an adult. What are you doing? So, sure enough, like a year later or something, I was flying to Minneapolis. At this point, I was flying, I pretty much was flying with the pilot. So, I'm sitting in the front of the plane, and the guy comes on the plane. 40, 50 years old, from man, yarmulke on, sits us out. And sure enough, he's also crushing candy, the whole flight. I'm like, are you that guy's brother? The whole flight. I went to Panama a week after that, and I was making a speech, and so there was another rabbi. They also was speaking, and I mentioned this. 2 days later, he sends me a text message. He says, Joe, you have to see us. I said, what? He says, I'm on a flight to London, and the person sitting next to me is crushing candy. How does this happen? You're an adult. The answer is when we're an adult, we let our guard down. Because when we're kids, we're warned and we're told and we're warned and we're told. And now all of a sudden we're in an office and we have a lady who's a secretary and we have to interact with her. So we think we just keep interacting. And we have no clue. We have a waiting room in our office, so we have to put magazines. So we put all kinds of magazines and we don't even realize. Maybe we're selling products, so we have to have mannequins or whatever is in the office and then let it stand there, let it look however it looks and put on it whatever we put on it. We're like, that's what business is. And we don't realize the Yetzer Hara is halach when you're 30, 40, 50, 60 or so. And the Yetzer Hara comes in and somehow wants to pull you in. At any point, the strength and the conviction you need to have more than anything else is to be an ivri. It's to be able to stand on the other side of the river and say, that's not me. In fact, whenever I go away on a vacation, which is not often enough, we like to go, I don't usually come here to Florida, I like to go to somewhere where there's no people. As long as I have to wear a tie, it's not a vacation. So I try to go someplace where I don't have to. And we had one resort one time, and my wife said to me, well, I like to have a lot of fun. So my wife says to me, you know, they offer in this resort a free lesson on surfing. Surfing. You heard of that? Okay. She said, do you want to take the lesson? Me, I've heard. Do you want to take the lesson? I said, no, not really. She says, why not? It's fun. You'll have a good time. It's surfing. It's an hour lesson. I said, first of all, I have no interest in surfing. That's A. But B is, you know why? I understand I'm in my 40s, but you never know. Next thing you know, I'm going to become a whole surfer. And I'm going to be all interested. You ever see these surfers? It's a whole thing. The waves, which waves they have. They're waking up early because of their waves. I don't need to get pulled in. She says, what do you mean? You're an adult. I said, I know. But it doesn't change at any age. We're always susceptible. And the problem is so often we think we're not. And we let our guard down. You're working in an office every day. You're under a lot of pressure. You have a lot of things going on. And next thing you know, you're on a website that you shouldn't be on. And you're like, one second. No. I have to protect myself from this too. Whether it's filters in the office, whether it's careful about the magazines that are in the office, whether it's careful how you talk to people in the office, whether it's careful on the business trips you go to, and if you go on those trips, where you stay and how you function. They didn't tell you about this when you're in 11th grade. But this is the skill that's required at this stage in your life, the skill to be an Ivri, the skill to be able to stand on the other side of the river and be part of the company to some degree, or be part of the other employees to some degree, to be kind and nice and friendly, but still on the other side. In fact, Avraham Avinu was the man who was the Ish HaChesed. He was the man who inspired so many other people, but was still an Ivri. That's the skill set that's required of us today.
I didn't even touch anything. Is this like electric? The podium? Am I holding it wrong?
Okay.
So you lower the volume?
Okay. My girls in Florida, not like they are in New York.
I by the way, all over the place. The whole. If anyone wants to go into a business, by the way, get the microphones right, you'll be a billionaire. I'm just telling you, I've never worked with microphones that really, then the battery breaks, it stops in the middle, makes noises like just did.
Don't give me any ideas.
Don't give me any ideas. What do you mean? Maybe you go into the business and
don't take the microphone.
Oh, don't tell the microphone, I got it. Don't be, whatever. Okay. I'll tip that pen. I'll give you one more example. I got a game in my house. We have a house in Deal in the summer. I got a Pac-Man game. Now, Pac-Man is fairly innocent. And we got it like it stands on a ledge. So it's very, like, you can't really get that pulled in. And, you know, my little son, he's going to enjoy it. Very nice. And sure enough, throughout the summer, he played on and off. He played, he didn't play. Now I'm talking to myself. Just wait, should I just talk straight?
Yeah.
Well, you're in the second row. It's easy for you to say.
Back up.
I really feel bad. I'm putting you so much pressure. You good? What? That's good? I said I was going to die. You die, Tucker. Okay. Wow. I guess through the microphone, Mashiach's going to come. Is he going to come? I want everything to come out true. So anyhow, what was I saying? So I got this Packer game, and I had it all worked out that I should be careful that my son, he's 11, he shouldn't get too attached, and Baruch Hashem, he really didn't get too attached. But somehow over Ben Azmanim, my two son-in-laws were in some kind of Pac-Man war. One was playing, his score was 85,000, the other guy for 2 weeks was playing every day to try to beat, and they must meet them, they're B'nai Torah, they're fully all in. I said, what are you doing? What are you sitting here? He said, no, my brother-in-law got 90,000, I got up to 95. What? He said, you know how complicated Pac-Man is? I said, complicated? But he never thought, when he's 25 years old, coming to his shver's house that's a rav, that there's a nisayon sitting there in the den. He never thought. Because we all think that at some point, we are what we are. The point of coming here for these 2 days is to recognize that it doesn't work that way. It's to recognize that our guard has to be up, our focus needs to be great, and the truth is, in many cases, this is where you create your greatness. I noticed something, I don't know what to do with this observation, but it's powerful. In all the nisyonos that we see from Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, we don't see that much, at least specifically in the Torah, don't see that much about the challenges they had in the Beis Medrash. Instead, the Torah tells us about their greatness, of the challenges they had out on the field, the challenges they had interacting with people, the challenges they had at war, the challenges they had in business. Because those challenges sometimes are so hard and therefore have inside of it so much opportunity for greatness. You might be an incredible person, 6 years learning in Kailo, you say, wow, I'm a masmid, I'm great. But there's a lot of greatness that's built 10, 20 years being in the workforce. Because being in the workforce and avoiding that and saying no to that and being careful from that and being ivory over here, interacting here but not using those words, is very hard. And that's where greatness lies. But how do you achieve it? The way you achieve it is very simple. The Gemara says that the first questions that we're going to be asked after 120, what now? After 120 is, in one place the Gemara says, the main question is going to be, Kavata itim l'tayra, if you learned. Another place the Gemara says, the main question is going to be, the first question is going to be, Nasata v'nasata b'amuna, did you work with honesty? The second question is, Kavata itim l'tayra. Which one comes first? The answer is this. There are a number of them, but the answer is this. The answer is that Kavati the Matairam sets up and builds the whole thing. But now, once you're Kavati the Matairam, we need to see that it's real. So the way we see that it's real is, let's see first, Nasata v'nasata b'amuna. Did you work with honesty? Did you work like a ben Torah? That's reflected by the second question, Kavata itim l'Torah. It's reflected by the main question, Kavata itim l'Torah. The Kavata itim is all powerful, not just when you learn mikvias, but it's powerful when it then changes how you work. And that's the goal. The people I'm looking at in front of me in this room are all people that are part of this kollel because you kavat itim l'Torah. If it's the morning, if it's the night, you kaveya yourself in learning, which is incredible. But that therefore has to change how you are in the office. I want you to have a beautiful idea. When we talk about someone who's learned, we talk about someone who's involved in Torah. We don't call them a Talmud of Torah. Instead, we call him a Ben Torah. What does it mean, a Ben Torah? The son of Torah. What does it mean, the son of Torah? It sounds like a unique phrase. The answer is, you are your father's son wherever you go. There's nowhere in the world that you could go that you are not your father's son. My father, Alav Shalom, was Nifter a year and a half ago, and I am still my father's son. Because there's no place you could go that you're not the son of your father. A person is kavata itim l'Torah properly becomes a ben Torah, which means wherever he is, Torah is with him. In the office, in the meetings, in the conference room, on the plane, overseas, in different interactions, dealing with Jews, dealing with non-Jews, dealing with irreligious Jews, dealing with men, dealing with women. Every single component of their day, they are a ben Torah. They're the son of Torah as much as they are the son of their father. Every minute, every day, every place, Torah is their essence. And that's what's accomplished here. You know, Labor Day is whenever they decided to make Labor Day be. It also happens to be, this year and in most years, in the beginning of Elul. Which means it's a time where you're not just coming to learn for 2 days. It came yesterday or something. You're not just coming to learn for 2 days, but you're coming to set up your life. You're coming to set up your year. You're coming to empower your Elul and therefore make and establish who you are when you go back to the office tomorrow morning. Which leaves me with one last little story, and with this I'll conclude. And this, they say, is a true story. In fact, I read this story in a secular source. When I read it, I was like, wow, the message in this story is so powerful and so important and so Jewish. You know, for many years, the kings of France, they all had the same name. You know the name of the king of France? Louis. You know any names? Louis, very good. Louis? So King Louis. You should have heard of him. You didn't hear a Candy Crush, but you should remember him. Okay. So,
By the way, thank you for being a good sport and for playing with me. And I apologize for this back and forth, but we're having a good time. Where are we going next, by the way? Because we're doing good. King Louis. I think one of the most famous ones was like King Louis the 15th. He was married to Marie Antoinette. And there was a rebellion. And he and his wife were taken to the guillotine. And they were executed. But now the rebels had a problem. The problem that the rebels had is that there was a little boy that was the son of this King Louis the 15th. What was his name? Louis. So now, he's Louis. He's like 8, 9 years old. What do we do with this kid? We can't kill him. He's a kid. But we can't keep him alive because in a year from now, or 10 years from now, he's going to decide that he's the King the 16th. So they had this big debate. What do we do? We can't kill him. We can't keep him alive. Finally, the rebels came up with a suggestion. They said, we're going to take this boy and we're going to put him on an island. And on this island, we're going to give him everything a kid could want. Every drink, every drug, every food, every substance, every distraction, everything. And hopefully, while he's here, he'll indulge and indulge and indulge until he's unfit to be a king. It was a great idea. They left him on the island, made it the biggest party place in the world, and they left him there for months. 6 months later, the rebels came back. They looked around and they realized this little Louis hadn't touched a thing. Had not touched a thing. Had not touched a thing. Clear enough? Do we need another mic? And they asked him, I don't understand. You had everything in front of you, every candy, every drink. You could stay up as long as you want. You could wake up whenever you want. You could have as much fun as you want. You could party as much as you want. You had everything here. Why didn't you touch it? Listen to his answer. This answer should be in the mind of every Jew every single day they wake up in the morning. Every single place they are, no matter what they're surrounded by. Here's what he said. He said, I'm sorry, I couldn't do what you asked. Because I was born to be a king. That's our mindset. That's our conviction. I was born to be a king. The world will try to convince you. The world will beg you. The world will tell you, everybody's doing this. Of course you have to be part of this. You think you're going to keep your job if you don't go to that event and that party and don't talk to that person? You think you're going to be all stiff? You think you're going to be all serious? You think you could say you do this and you don't do that? It's bad enough you don't come. You leave early on Fridays in the winter. You have all other things you want to ask too. You can't do that. Maybe no one says it, maybe your brain says it to you. But the reality is that the day you left yeshiva, the most important quality we need to have, that you need to have, that I need to have, that we all need to have, is the quality of Avraham Avinu to be an Ivri, to be able to see the Yetzirah as he's Halach and potentially Amar and then Yashav, and be able to say, I am on the other side of the river from you. I have nothing to do with you. Whether you come to me when I'm 15 years old or you come at me when I'm 60 years old, I am not participating. Because you know why? I am Kaveh Ha'itim L'Torah. I am a person that Torah emanates throughout everything in my life. I am a Ben Torah. And when that's my mindset, and if that's how I establish my year, and that's how I establish my office, and that's how I establish my everyday, and that's how I establish my vacations, and that's how I establish every single thing I do, then every night you could think, and every morning you could wake up with the conviction that says, you know what? I may not be in yeshiva anymore, but I have incredible tests and incredible nisyanis, and I have the power and the conviction to withstand them all, because I was born to be a king. Thank you.